Good morning and welcome here this morning. Glad that you're with us here today. Happy Mother's Day to those of you that are mothers with us here. We are grateful for your presence, and we have a special opportunity later on in the service here to recognize you, and glad that you'll be with us. Those of you joining us online, we welcome you to our service here this morning, and trust that our hearts will be encouraged as we come in here to this place, and a lot of things are in motion. I hope that you've driven by the campus here recently, a lot of earthwork, and the last word we had is that the pad, not the concrete, but the dirt portion of that is done for the church portion, and they'll be starting to work their way up the hill there a little bit now, starting to lay the groundwork for the school portion of that. And so very exciting things happening there. I hope that you'll drive by and check that out and keep an eye on things as we're moving along there in that project. We're glad that you're with us here today, and trust in the Lord will encourage us here as we come together and emphasize a special day today, and looking forward to encouraging our hearts in God's Word. Just a couple of things before we get started. You'll notice that we've got a bulletin that's just filled with great opportunities ahead of us here. And but one of the things that we're also going to be starting to try to do as we're moving forward is trying to limit, in many ways, what we put actually in the bulletin as far as specific details and how much details go in here, really to encourage you to go to our website. There's a lot of information on our website that will fill in all of the intricacies and the details there, and get us used to doing that so that we're not so inundated and bombarded. We'll try to clean these things up as we move forward. So just want to make sure that you're aware of that. If you're needing to find out more information about a specific event or you know what's going on, we're encouraging you to check out the website, ourgrace.church, and that is a way that you can stay informed of a lot of that information. But just to make sure that you are aware, we are still wanting to recognize graduates here soon. And so whether high school or college or master's or doctoral, anything like that that involves a process by which you have finished a milestone, whether that's your children or yourself, if you would, just make sure the office is aware of that. We're asking that if you would to email info@ourgrace.church. And let the office know this so that we can make sure that we have that information. We want to have a day here soon where we're going to recognize our graduates. And so we'll be doing that in a very formal way, recognizing them on that day. The missionaries of the week, Dima and Maria, serving in Central Asia, appreciate the work that they're doing in some parts of the world that can be very dangerous and risky to share the gospel, and appreciate their faithfulness. And then you'll notice things in there about VBS. We have other trips that are happening here to be in prayer for, and just be thinking about them. And by the way, that's not a summer study in jobs. Okay, that's the person Job. All right, just make sure you read that correctly. There's Job study is going to be starting here. Kelly O'Rear is going to be starting that in June and July. And making sure that you're aware of that. It'll be during the 10:45 hour. And if you have any questions about, you know, not getting a job, but studying Job, talk with Kelly, and he can fill you in on that as well. Graduation for our school here coming up. And May 21st, our seniors are graduating. I see one back there getting ready to graduate here in the next couple of days, a few days from now. And just be in prayer for them and the class of 21, and asking the Lord to continue to lead them and guide them. But in any case, thinking about these different ones. So there's other things here for you to look at. The Grand Prix, we've got different aspects of ministry, and I hope that you'll stay informed with that. As far as prayer requests, and thinking about my heart is in many ways rejoicing and yet sorrowful. Doreen has passed and she has entered into glory, and such a sweet lady, and appreciated her and Ed's testimony, and continue to pray for Ed and his family as they go through this transition and a time now without Doreen, and continue to pray for them as there are plans being made as far as the graveside and burial and things of this nature. So just asking the Lord to comfort them through this time. And then we have several others that have just experienced this. We've seen the Lord take home quite a few in this last year, and even now in this year. And so just continue to pray for comfort for these different ones in our church family. We're also continuing to pray for John Matthias and very health conscious of his situation there. A lot of things happening around his heart condition, and let's keep praying for him. I saw pictures. He was able to stop by the school the other day and visit there, and I know the students were very excited to see him. But just keep praying for John and his recovery. And then another person connected with our school, Tony Bartley, and pray for him. Had surgery, and having a brain tumor removed. And so different ones there that we have opportunity to pray for. And I know there's many others. There are burdens upon a lot of our hearts. And so appreciate praying one for another, and appreciate all the prayers for our family and different ones that we pray for on a regular basis. So thank you for that as well. Continue to pray for the building project. Continue to pray for the process of ministry. We are, Lord willing, going to be providing a breakfast for the construction workers there on Wednesday morning. It's a smaller crew right now, and we're going to start launching this. This is a way for us to continue to try to have an outreach into our community as well as to those serving with us specifically. And so if you have opportunity to pray about this, if you would also consider volunteering as the crews start to increase, we're going to try to do this on a very regular basis. And financially, it's something that we want to commit to doing. And so if you would like to help us with that, that is something that is on our website. We're going to make sure that there's a giving line for that, construction outreach, and it's a way for us to minister to those that are serving on our campus. And I know they're doing a job, but we're excited to be able to minister to them and try to encourage them and let them know how much we appreciate them as a church for the work that they're doing for us. And so that is something that will be coming up, and appreciate Tom Crum and Alan Walker and others who are helping us lead that, and several other volunteers that are getting on board with this, and just appreciate the opportunity to pray about this as well as we move forward. So keep these things in mind, and I'm very excited to see what the Lord has in store for us. If you would stand with me, Tip is going to come and lead us this morning in the reading of our verses as we get started, and then he'll open us with a word of prayer. And so as we make ready to begin our worship time, I hope that our hearts are ready to receive what God has for us as much as we give in our singing and our ministry of worship here this morning. Tip, lead us in the verses and then open us in prayer this morning.
Let's pray then. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to be in your house this morning. And we think of Mother's Day and what that means in our hearts to the dear ladies that have nurtured us and loved us. We pray that this day will be a blessed day for them. We pray, Father, as we hear your word, as we sing songs, that our heart will be full of adoration for you and thankfulness in our hearts for the blessing of our moms. Bless this service, Father, this morning. Just help us to have our hearts in tune with you. Move us in your direction, we ask. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you join us this morning as we sing?
Who can satisfy my soul like you? Who on earth could comfort me and love me like you do? Who could ever be more faithful, true? I will trust in you, Lord, I will trust in you. Refreshing me with life. Of the Lord is laid for your faith. It is
Seated.
We want to take this moment in the service to recognize the mothers who are with us this morning. And I thought it would be good. Amy doesn't know I brought this, but our five-year-old Zach did a tribute for mom. And there's some classic statements on here. He got her color right. Her favorite color is blue, and she's wearing blue. My mom makes the best cookies. They give the statement and then they fill in the rest of it. So the statement is, she is so good at, and then Zach told his teacher what to write. She is so good at putting things in the oven.
Yeah.
But the favorite one for the family this morning was this. My mom always says, and then Zach filled in the blank. My mom always says, go to bed. So there you go. I wonder if we could, in this moment, we want to recognize our moms. If you have been a mother for over 50 years, would you stand? Over 50 years, would you please stand? If you have been a mom for over 25 years, would you please stand? If you have been a mom for over 10 years, would you stand? Over 5 years, 1 year or less. Can we give thanks to our moms this morning and recognize them? And ladies, you may be seated. Our appreciation for your God-given role and significance and influence can't be and must not be isolated to a single day out of the year to help greeting cards stay in business. But this is an opportunity for us as a church to collectively say thank you and to give thanks to the Lord for his good design of motherhood. And before I forget, out in the garden area there, beyond the foyer, we have gifts for the mothers. They're journals, and so we're pretty excited about these gifts, and I think you have one each. Just one per. You have a choice if you get there soon enough, right? Okay? So I asked my wife if she would pray over the moms this morning, and if you want to share anything, you can do that.
Now, I told my husband last night, I said, if I could say one thing to the moms out there today, I would say, and I'm actually speaking more to the older generation of moms, maybe those of you who have been moms for more than 15 years, motherhood is hard, right? I still consider myself a young mom, even though I've passed 40, but I have young kids, and it's not easy, and there are a lot of voices out there, especially in the days of internet and social media. And I think what your young moms in this church need to hear most of all is not what to do about, I don't know, schooling, what to do about, all the hot topics of the day. What they need to hear is not what to do, but what God has already done and what he's promised. and that he's promised to go with them and to give them grace each day and to watch out for their kids. Those are the things that your moms need to hear. And I hope that you older women are passing those things on and taking those opportunities. Take a young mom out for coffee. Tell her how God met you in your time of motherhood. Listen to her and commit to pray for her. I think that could be the greatest gift that you could give a young mom. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the good gift of motherhood. It was your design from the start when you created Eve in the garden. And we thank you for our moms, Lord, and what they have meant to us. God, we know that there are those who are grieving today because they have lost their moms on this earth. Lord, those who have even just in the last weeks and months had to say goodbye. So we pray for them, especially today, that you would meet them in their grief. God, we pray for young moms. The voices out there are loud. And we just pray that they would hear your voice above all. We pray that you would speak peace into their hearts, that they could rest in you, that they could know that you love their kids far more than they do, and that you are a good father who gives good gifts and that you will give grace for each day. We pray for moms who have already raised their kids. We pray that you would help them to know when and how to speak into the lives of their adult children. We pray that for all moms, we would be able to give up the desire to control, to worry over our kids' lives, that we could trust them completely into your hands. Father, we pray for those who are here today that maybe wish that they could have been moms one day, and that is just not what you have had for them. Lord, we pray that they would, in their sadness, trust your goodness and that you still have great plans for their lives. And God, may we all see, all women, that you've called us to something far greater than just biological motherhood. Lord, that you have called us to disciple the next generation, that there is a type of spiritual motherhood, as Timothy was Paul's spiritual son. Lord, that you want us to be spiritual mothers, to point the way to you, to lead by example. And Lord, that is a calling on every one of us women. Thank you for womanhood, God. Thank you for your good gifts. Bless the moms here. Bless all women, we pray. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
And in light of that, let's go to the book of Titus this morning. We're going to step out of our series in Philippians and give an opportunity here to encourage our hearts, to challenge us, to understand some things. One of the things I love about Scripture is that it leaves us opportunities to understand the roles that God has given to us by His design and His creation. Titus chapter 2 is where I like to go to. And picking up a little bit with what even Amy encouraged as far as in the generational heritage and legacy, not just in our actions, but in our words. And to understand that we have a role to play and to encourage with each other. I love the sense of essence, that God has created us as male and female, but in that essence, He has made us one, that we are made in the image of God, that we are created in a bearing aspect. We bear that out before the world. This is our duty to model the person of God wherever we go. But then He also has given to us unique roles in the design and the aspect of creation and the way that God has given to us our understanding of our roles as husbands, as wives, as men, as women. There are things that God, by even the gender making, has given to us a sense of purpose and function. And so in that function, in those roles, God allows different parts of our lives to be able to shape other parts in people's lives. And in Titus chapter 2, we come to some admonition that he leaves with Titus, this young minister of the gospel, as he is serving in the island of Crete and has been given this ministry in a very difficult spot, a very difficult group of people. And yet he is left there to build a church and to raise up a next generation of believers. And so we enter into chapter 2, and there's a lot of things that have been happening, the formulation of the elders, the sense of those who are leaders within the church. He's talking to them about how to be in control of their faculties and control of their functions. And then he gets into these different roles and different senses of purpose and things of this nature as we go in. So let's read the first 8 verses, but we're going to primarily focus on verses 3-5 here this morning. He says, "But as for you," talking to Titus, "speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. And likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. In all things, show yourself to be a good example, to be an example of good deeds, with purity and doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us." I want to speak this morning about mothers who make a difference. There's a little poem that I came across, written several years ago by a lady by the name of Tricia Sturtz. And it says, "When God made the world, he was pleased with it all and had sweet communion with man till the fall. But when Satan's dread victory that day led to sin, God paused and he thought, 'I need someone to win the hearts of the little ones ere they grow cold and they yield to sin's temptings and stray from the fold.' And so God made mothers with hearts brimmed with love. To them he commissioned this charge from above, to pray for the little ones fervently, daily, to laugh with them, cry with them, play with them happily, to teach them the truths from the scriptures of old, to be strong and gentle, to be meek and bold, to wash little feet when her own feet were aching, to mend broken hearts when her own heart was breaking." And so God made mothers and planned 'twould be so, when her children were grown, that she must let them go with eyes filled with tears and yet her heart full of joy, to know she'd done best for her girl or her boy. And God said, when surveying his work, so I'm told, a God-fearing mother is worth more than gold." The aspect of motherhood, and in Titus's passage, we find some instructions that he gives to Titus as to how he wants him to instruct these generational aspects of the church. There are these familial relationships. Later on in verse 9, he's going to talk about even some of the, I guess you would say, the social classes, the bondservants, the slaves that are part of the body of Christ, and then these other groups that are part of that. And he is giving to them some specific ways to make sure that you understand that all of this comes back to what he starts in verse 1, to what makes up sound doctrine. He talks to him in verse 1 as Paul and Titus. There are things that Paul talks specifically to Titus about. "Titus, this is what you need to teach." And then he says that you need to also make sure that the older men are aware of some things in verse 2. Verse 3, he specifically targets those that are classified here as older women. And then in verses 4 and 5, the younger women. Verse 6, the young men. Verses 7 and 8, he comes back to Titus again. And then verses 9 through 10, he specifically talks about the slaves in the church. And then verses 11 through and following is just all men, all the people. And so this whole chapter really makes up a sense of what we would find as instruction for the entirety of the body of Christ. Anyone and everyone who walks in here and is part of this body, and how they need to know sound doctrine. We don't need to be afraid of that word. You know, I've heard people in the past, and I kind of scratch my head. You know, I don't want to go to church. It's always just teaching all that doctrine stuff. And I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. Without that, how do you know how to live and function and how you're to interact with people? You need good, sound doctrine to guide us. And what's interesting, and all of this comes back as it pertains then to every form of relationship, every role that we have. It's governed by something. It's managed by something, specifically the Word of God. And as it pertains to mothers, I thought we should take a few moments and give some attention to the thoughts that are found here in Titus chapter 2. We're going to focus on three thoughts and draw our attention squarely to the role that you as mothers play in the lives of your family and in our body of believers. And the first two points are going to be very brief. Just let you know that we're going to move through those first two points very quickly. And then we'll intentionally spend more time on the third point that we get to this morning. And I always find it interesting when we get to places like this that there are these times when we come to special days and we're going to focus in on mothers and all the men. I say, good, I can nod off here. No, 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 no. You're not allowed to do that because you have a role to play in this as well. And that's one of the things I love about Titus chapter 2 is that there is a symmetry, there is a unity, there is something. And this isn't necessarily you then pointing out and say, well, say, hey, you weren't listening to Pastor Love the other day. No, 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 you don't get to do that either. Don't pull that card out. But you have a part to play in the sense of how then am I complementing and how am I creating an environment where this is conducive? What's my role in this? Whether you're a young man here without a wife or whether you are here as an individual who is not yet married as a woman, there are qualities and attributes and distinctives that are to be present. It's sort of like the listing of qualifications that he already talked about for pastors. It's not just that all of a sudden you get all of those qualities and then you can become one. It should be that amongst those of us who are already modeling certain attributes, that God is already at work within us, then this role, this function should naturally be something that rolls into God's calling in your life. And so let us apply the attributes that are here to, because they're not necessarily just distinct because of a classification or social class, but these are qualities that should be amongst all of our lives and attributes. So let's pay attention as we go through and appreciate what God has for us this morning. Let's get to the first point, and that is what I call the teachers. Basically, what we find here is that he is going to list out a group of people that are responsible for teaching. And it's interesting how Paul instructs Titus. And he says, basically, Titus, you teach the older men, the older women, and the younger men. And you also teach the rest of the church these specific matters of sound doctrine. So it's to everybody. But there's a group that is skipped over here when he talks specifically to Titus. It's the younger women. Who was to teach them? And the way this passage goes is that basically Titus is to instruct the older women who then take the investment of time and energy to gather the younger women under their wing, their proverbial wing. When I think of the way that we disseminate our instruction, we come into a place like this, even here this morning, I always say that preaching is sort of like me standing up here with a shotgun. And I unload the shotgun and all those little BBs go out and they sort of scatter shot everything. And I'm trying to hit as many hearts and lives as I can possibly. But what is interesting about this passage is that what he is saying is that you older women have the responsibility to carry the rifle. And that you target specifically into the hearts, into the lives of those younger women. It's not necessarily in a broad, general broadcast of general proclamation. Even as a man, I have a measured opportunity to speak to both genders. But where are the mothers? The young women who aspire one day to be mothers, where do they get their instruction on a daily, a weekly, even an occasional basis? And it seems to indicate that by Scripture here, that it needs to be coming from the older women within our assembly. This is what we would today call discipleship. It is calling people to come beside as you follow Christ, asking them to come with you and begin the journey together. And this is what we are to do, which leads me then to the second point, and that is the teachable. You have the teachers, and then you have the teachable, and there are to be those hearts that are ready to receive the Word of God. Let me ask you this morning, are you teachable? Do you allow the Word of God to present itself to your heart in such a manner that you would say that in your heart of hearts, that you are receptive to what God's Word has for you and for your life, and that it wants to change? Your heart wants to change. Are you a teachable person? In all of this passage, it deals with Titus. First of all, you need to let sound doctrine be teaching you. And then you're going to take something and you're going to instruct other people. And you've got these generational peoples and you've got these social classes of people, and they all have their unique challenges and they're all of their distinctive issues and opportunities and roles and functions. How are they going to then do those things? They need to have a heart that's, first of all, teachable. Titus is not some guru or cult leader. This is not about Titus's prowess as a teacher, but what is Titus and the older women, and now the whole assembly to be learning? And that is the sound doctrine that he started this chapter with, the Word of God. He says in verse 1, teach what is fitting, what is appropriate for sound doctrine. Your heart needs to be open to instruction. It needs to be founded from, flowing from the Word of God. So whether you're a young man, an older woman, or a young woman, whether you feel yourself a slave in the economy of Titus's day, no matter what your position is, whether you're the pastor of the church, no matter what, teachable. Your heart needs to be open. So older women, do you teach? But what do you teach? And more in the sense of understanding that the intent of this passage as well is are you teachable? As an older woman, are you teaching out of the bitterness of your heart? As an older woman, are you teaching out of the cantankerous nature because you are calcified by the hurts and the disappointments and the frustrations? Or do you teach sound doctrine? Have you had a heart that is teachable? So what are you going to teach then? When offered instruction from an older woman, a mature woman in life and in faith, as a young mother, do you shut out the interaction? Or do you absorb it? Do you appreciate it when an older woman comes and says, hey, you know, let's go out to coffee. Or let me come over and just sit with you and I'll hold the little one for a while and let's just talk. Or do you feel intruded upon, judged? Do you feel like there is a status issue here? Do you receive well the intrusion of another person's life into your life? Are you teachable? And that brings me then to the final point where we're going to camp for a little bit for the rest of our time. And the heart of really what I find that I think Titus gives to us here, or really Paul giving to Titus, and this is really number 3, and this is the teaching. This is what we are to teach. And so Paul admonishes Titus to teach the older women. If you'll notice the flow, okay? So he comes in here, older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith and love and pure perseverance. Older women likewise are to be reverent in the behavior, not malicious gossip, nor enslaved to much lying, teaching what is good so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands so that the word of God will not be dishonored. So then the older women are to be reaching out to the younger women. Well, let's begin with the older women first, because that's where he starts. This is the body of people that are to be teaching. And first, let me make it abundantly clear, age is really not the emphasis here. The idea is less about age and more to do with maturity. It has more to do with experience, about having journeyed down the road a little bit further in life. The point is more to do with wisdom and experience, as well as the experience of years. To those who have lived This is your instruction. He begins with their behavior. He uses two terms here, the idea of being reverent in their behavior. It's the concept of being holy. And by now, you should understand the importance of discretion and respect, which is always interesting that in every society, it's like this is one of the things that we start seeing is the benchmarks of when a society begins to really go into chaos is how little respect there is, and especially how little respect there is to our aged population. The sense of respect and reverence to the older generation, but here's the challenge. As an older person, a person who has experienced more life, are you a person who has shown respectable living? Are you a person worthy of respectable attributes? Are you reverent? The word used for reverent is often tied to the demeanor of the priest that is serving in the temple. You understand your surroundings. You live in such a behavior that you're not living necessarily in the terrestrial realm, but you live more with the understanding that you live under the purview of God. And that He truly is who your eyes are focused upon, as His eyes are focused upon you. And that you're living in a manner that is controlled because you are controlled by the Spirit of God. You live in a way that truly seeks to honor and glorify God. You're not going to display character that is unbefitting as a child of God. And you may ask, well, what does that look like? You know, what does that life look like? Well, it is a life that is exuding the character of God's Word. And if you're not spending time in God's Word, then how will you know what that characteristic looks like? Sound doctrine, using good judgment. Your words will be chosen carefully that you will not become a malicious gossip. Or the other way that that term could be used is a false accuser, that you will then accuse people. You will give to them a character assassination, that you will look at other people in a way that gives them a discreditable reputation. Your tongue will be in control. You will guard your impression and your opinions. You're not controlled with wine. Ephesians 5:18, not drunken, but instead controlled by the Holy Spirit. And then Paul adds that you are teachers of good things. You are teaching what is good. So what is good? Older women, what is the good that you are teaching? And by teaching good things, it is more by the evidence of them as seen in your life and thus expressed from your lips, and they both match. Life and lip go together. And be careful that you're not promoting a do as I say, but don't do as I do type of mindset and lifestyle. So what is good? And so Paul gives some examples of good things to teach to your group of young women. And as a young woman, you need to heed these things as a starting place of your learning, as a teachable place. The teaching that comes from the teachers that God gives to you, preparing your heart to be taught. And he gives some examples of things as an older woman, you would then be instructing these younger women to understand in the application of life. What are we to teach? Well, let's go through the list. He begins with basically this statement that you are to love your home. Learn to love your husband and to love your children, the lovers of your home. The understanding that a loving of home is a sense of sacrifice, that you can't say that you love anyone if you're not willing to sacrifice for them. And I think this is where the world has gotten us all muddied in our thinking, our understanding, especially as the church. We've equated love with a sexual experience. We've equated love with a sense of a mushy-gushy emotional experience. We've equated love as just simply me having some sort of a bond of affinity and affection with someone. And it's way more than that, because that's just simply something that is naturally there because we both get it. We both want it. We love it. But that's not love. That's just the fact that I really, really, really like you. Love comes in when it hurts. Love comes in when it's cost me something. Love exists when I have to sacrifice of my own in order to give to you what you need. It is caring more about you than I care for myself. It's learning then as a wife to love your husband and to love your children. And what I find is sad in the day and age in which we live is that we have a lot of testimonies of people who have been given the biological function of parenthood that have not fulfilled the biblical role, have not done the role of being what God had said in sound doctrine to be the moms and to be the dads that the children need. And we've created a vicious cycle of individuals who do not know how to love. They only know how to get and to take, to have, and not to give up. As an older woman, you can come beside a younger woman who is struggling in the place of their day to understand the demands of being a wife and to being a mom in a time, in a space of time where you don't feel pretty and you don't feel lovable because you are so overwhelmed with duty and responsibility and diapers and stinky ones at that. And there's a meal plan, and there is the schedule to keep, and you still have to plan the meals, and you have to still do all these things, and then you've got this crazy guy who comes in at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock every night, who expects more of you. How can you give anymore when it feels like all day long you have been giving and giving, and all you want to do is, what's the old expression, Calgon, what, take me away kind of memories? And it's in those places and those times of life where divorce hits, and it's in these places where we gauge values and we begin to weigh what we want more out of life and out of careers and out of what I thought this was supposed to look like. And we don't have people coming alongside and saying, hold on, hold on. You can get through this. You can make it through this. How do you love your husband? How do you love your children when you feel your tank is completely empty? And that's why the older women in the room need to be filling the tanks of the younger women. You need to be investing in these younger women because they're tired and you remember feeling tired. Don't go in there and tell them how tired you were. Go in there and tell them how God enabled you, gave you strength because somebody else plugged into you. Be that generational person who can come in and encourage. Because that's what we are to do. He says in verse 4 that they might encourage the young women. Don't come in and tell how bad you had it. Tell them they can make it. Love. To remind them that there isn't another man who can take the place of their husband and to be devoted to the one that God has given to them. The children, that they are not to forget their children's well-being and forsake the needs because it's hard or inconvenient. That these are not balls and chains, but worthwhile commitments and covenant vows. These are gifts from God, And this, it does demand a giving of yourself. Older women are not only to teach these younger women to love their homes, but second of all, to lead their minds, that you need to lead your mind. He uses the expression here in verse 4, that to love their husbands, love their children, to be, verse 5, to be sensible, to use good judgment. Do not be so emotion-driven, but allow your sensitivities to be handled by clear instruction. To let the word of God and the wise counsel of others to help you as you're making decisions, that you're not flying off the handle, but that you're keeping yourself under control, that there is a sensibleness about the course of your life. Maybe that comes in with how to plan and how to manage and how to task orient. And maybe it's asking for help. Maybe the wise thing would be to do is ask for help. Sometimes we just need to open that door of opportunity to someone. He goes on to say that there is to then, third of all, to choose with wisdom, sensible, pure. The idea that the concept here, the word is used for all the groups, not just the older or the younger women, but to be prudent, to be thoughtful. It carries the idea of self-controlled. You're going to learn how to conduct yourself in a world that's filled with an anti-God, anti-truth rhetoric, which leads us to understanding this purity of chasteness. Live as chaste individuals, guarding your relationships, guarding against those lusts, those passions that can grow out of control, presenting yourself as pure to the world around you and not impure. And then he goes into these other things here. The workers at home. Kind. Subject to their own husbands. And if I could say it in this way, it would be to change your environment. Some of the more modern commentaries want to say that this is reflective of a first century cultural ideology that Paul is touting here. And that it really was, in Paul's estimation, that it was better if wives just simply stayed home. And thus the argument is that this passage does not have any footing in the 21st century, and especially in the modernity of America. But what I find is that from the creation, God gave to men and women specific roles and specific functions. In the same essence as we started here, understanding the gospel is not gender specific. It's to men or to women. It doesn't matter. But in the practical everyday living, God created a design and an order so that homes and churches and society would function in harmony. Life is about us doing it according to His mandate, not the social whims of the day. God has a way that works best. And the point of this verse is that the home is a better functioning environment when it is filled with the effectiveness of a husband and a wife who are committed to Christ and to loving each other and to their children as God's word instructs them. And so here, young mothers, your primary role is to lead, to work your home. So long as your work outside is not interfering with the stability of your God-given responsibility, then that is all that God requires. God's word is not saying, moms, you're never to leave home until the kids are gone. That's not what He's saying. But what He is saying is you have been given a spiritual and a physical oversight. You are to be the workers of your home. And so long as those duties are not being shirked and not being treated irresponsibly, you're doing within your power everything that God has given you to do, then great. But don't neglect these things on the altar of you getting what you want instead of going back to the primary responsibility of loving your children, loving your husband. I understand there are exceptions, and God understands that there are situations that arise. There's death of a loved one, a spouse, divorce, sickness. But even these are not to become excuses. Are you present? Are you working your home? Are you leading the environment of your home? Now let me add to this, for the widows or the ones suffering through abandonment or divorce, or those who are enduring long under the weight of the daily care of a sick spouse, this is where we as the church need to come quickly beside and care for and lift up the hands of those who are battling through these things. And that's why I think it's important for the older women to be invested in the young women's lives, because it's in those moments that you sense the sensitivities. It's even in these places where these absences are there, whether through death, divorce, or through chronic sickness, we are, as a church, can come alongside and minister to these young wives. And sometimes, and I'll put it in this way, we also have dads that are in that same situation. We need to be, as a church, the people who come alongside to not take the place of, but to kind of fill the gap of. That's what the body of Christ should be for each other. So when the other part of the relationship is taken away by whatever circumstance, we as the body of Christ need to come and help take up the slack. We need to teach the young moms how to change the environment, to solidify the environment of their home, that they are the guardians. You are the keepers of the home. Then he talks about modeling kindness, showing kindness and not becoming contentious, showing benevolence and generosity. How do you treat the person in the checkout lane? How do you behave towards one set of people and then towards another group of people? And when your kids are standing there watching you as a young mom and they're seeing how you treat these people, do they get a sense that the characteristic of your heart is that you are a kind individual? You're driving in the car and you're talking about someone. Do they hear you in the way you discuss goings on, relationships, whether it be between a family member, maybe even your spouse, your husband? How do you treat other people? When you view your finances, are you modeling giving, not just to the church, but do you model a heart that is generous, that you give of your time and of your energies, not just to the keeping of your own home, but to the needs of other people around you? Do you model that for your children? Are you a kind person? Another area that he says older women are to teach the younger women, and that is to allow others to lead. And the aspect here is the word submission, which everybody takes in a big, deep breath. He used that word. Oh, my goodness, you know, in this day and age, that's just a very dirty word, it seems. But your relationship with your husband reveals a lot of the joy or the struggle that you're going to have in your home and in your life. And so who's leading your home? And ultimately, it has to be God the Father who's leading your home. But the human instrument that God has given to you to question your loyalties, to question yourself in that sense of my power, who am I placing my power under, and I'm giving to my husband the right to lead our home. It does not diminish or defeat your individuality. It does not deplete you of your own functions, but it enhances it. It completes it because it is fulfilling what God has said. You need to let your husband lead. But here's the thing, and this is where, guys, you got to perk up here a little bit. What kind of a leader are you then? Does she enjoy letting you take the lead? Or are you absent? Are you present? Are you in tune? Are you kind? Are you showing love and benevolence? It's a whole lot easier for her to let you lead when she knows that you're leading us well. And when, as a husband, you truly love your wife and wives are allowing their husbands to lead, both are doing their part, and usually no one even thinks about the power struggle anymore. And when one stops and steps away from doing it as God prescribes, then we become aware of the power struggle, and that's where the conflict arises. Submission is not slavery. Submission is taking your power and placing it into the hands of another and giving them the permission to lead. You did not lose your authority. You just simply transferred it because you're trusting that they will do with it what God has asked them to do with it. Think of this in relation to the unsaved spouses and the unconnected spouses. And sometime read 1 Peter 3 and it speaks of this in places, even in 1 Corinthians. Older women teach the younger women these things. But why? He says in verse 5, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. That you will not treat the word of God as something that is blasphemous. To have any one of us living a non-submissive, impure, unloving life would say to the world around us that the word of God makes us worse and not better, and that we find the message useless and empty. When we don't follow God's word, we're basically saying it doesn't have any promises of good. And the important ingredient in all of this as well is that the older women, these things you are admonished to teach are to be evident in your own lives as well. So just because the children are grown up, what about the grandchildren now? And just because maybe there aren't grandchildren yet, but your kids are growing up and they're off and they're doing their own life, doesn't give you the exemption then to start treating your husband, start treating other people in a different way, because it's still the practical nature of God's word, the sound doctrine that is to be rolling out of your life. Moms, you are the teachers. But you must be teachable. You cannot fail in your duty, though, to teach the next generation. And what hope do we have if we do not seek to teach sound doctrine to the ears and to the hearts and minds of our children? Be a mom who loves her husband and her children. Be a mother who makes a difference in your children's lives and the lives of the next generation. Be a mom who makes a difference. And that's what God calls us to. That's what God's word instructs us to. Be that kind of a mom who leads the next. And whether that's the mother that you are, advanced in years, stepping into the life of another mother, whether it's your own daughter, or whether it's another lady in the church, or whether it's a neighbor who just needs to see and have input in her life that might lead her to see the power of Christ because you're letting the word of Christ saturate her heart. You need to be a mom who makes a difference. Let it be that it's your heart that is the expression of the heart of God through the ministry of his word. To be a teacher, to be teachable, but as a teacher that is teachable, you're teaching. Give the instruction. And there's so many wonderful practical things that God's word is filled with beyond just what Titus 2 has for us. Let it be that these things come forth. Because there's a lot of young parents out there that are struggling. And the devil is giving them a lot of alternatives. We need to be encouraging. Encourage the young women. Let's stand together for a word of prayer. Father, I pray that you'll help us on this Mother's Day to take heed to your word and to the teaching that we find in it, that we would be students of your word, students of the structure, the organization, the way that you have created, the way that we are designed by our gender, but also in our function, in our roles as husbands, as wives, as fathers, as mothers, raising up the next generation to see you, to hear from you, to know you, and to love you because we love you, and they're seeing it in us. And Lord, I do pray for that spouse that's feeling alone. I pray for that one that is struggling in the period of time. I pray, God, you would encourage them. Lord, help them to give attention to the specific things, the details of their heart and their life, letting you lead them and guide them, because your word is true no matter what the circumstances, no matter what other people do. Lord, your word gives us solutions and help. But God, we can't just count on it in our individuality. We need the body of Christ. We need people around us. We need a church that is strong and active in inputting into people's lives. Lord, discipling as we are being discipled. Follow me as I follow Christ mindset. And Lord, there are people I know that battle on a daily basis. Or may we be encouraging one another, lifting each other up. Or let us be faithful voices into the hearts and lives of others. Lord, I pray for the moms that are here today. And Lord, the weight of responsibility, the burdens that they carry. God, I pray that you would penetrate into their hearts the truth of your word and build relationships within our church so that these older ladies who have weathered through the storms and gone through the journey of life can come alongside and truly encourage another young mom. Lord, I pray that it would not be left to just simply a MOPS program or left to some Sunday school class, but Lord, that we would be personal in our approach with each other. Lord, lead us to one another. And may we rejoice in what you're going to teach us, no matter what the generation is, from the older learning from your word, even from even the younger moms as they are being challenged in their hearts, and then vice versa. Build relationships, we pray. And may you do a work in our hearts. May we honor you in our position as your children. May we follow your word effectively. And it's in Christ's name we pray. I just want to say to the moms here today, my heart goes out to you. I'm very grateful for you. And if I can say anything, don't quit. Don't stop. Be the kind of mom that God wants you to be. No matter how old your children are, you have a very powerful position in the hearts of your children. So be the kind of mom that God wants you to be. Let's sing this verse together.
Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ might be seen in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory. Speak, O and by faith we'll walk as you walk with us. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory. And by grace we'll stand on your promises, and by faith we'll walk with us. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory.
Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate that challenge to the ladies, but also us as well. We thank you for your leadership and example in our church, and I just want to say a thanks to you as well, ladies, for that in our family's lives. Don't forget, there are two different journals out there. If you would take one of either or, we would appreciate that, and look forward to, hopefully that's an encouragement to you as you leave today. Hope you have a wonderful afternoon, and I look forward to seeing you next Sunday. No activities this afternoon or evening. Lord bless you.